Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting at my bright red desk on a nice, hot Sunday in June. I don't know how it got to be June already, but it is. And in the heat and the hot humidity, that's a great word, heat and humidity that we're having right now, there's a lot of energy around letting go of things. So what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk to you about what's going on in the sky, how you can use the energy productively or not. You always have the choice. Free will is a wonderful thing. But we hope you do use it productively. And then as you understand what the energy is, it gives you a lot more flexibility in your ability to use it, right? Because part of it is when we understand what's going on, we can go, aha, that's what I really wanted to do, or you know what, I don't want to do that. And we're clear. Okay, so what we're doing this week is we're talking about the week of June 3rd, and this is the last week, last week of the eclipses. So we're on the release factor. Release factors end things. This has been a very long eclipse cycle. We've had three big eclipses. We had one a week ago, which was the tornadoes. We had another week, and then we have the new moon on Saturday the 8th, and then we're done. Okay, until the fall, and then we have another set of eclipses. What eclipses do is they bring things to light. So I got an email today from one of my clients saying, I saw this person on the street with two women, you know, and I'm like, ooh, okay. Remember, eclipses bring things to light that you're supposed to see. On the last week, when Mercury and Venus, which is what we have this week, Mercury and Venus are working very hard with Saturn and Neptune and helping you see things that you need to see to be able to move forward, you can have some reveals that are a little shocking, surprising, or not necessarily what you really wanted to have happen. Don't take it personally. Thank the universe. Thank them for letting you know, wow, thanks for sharing that with me. I'm not really sure I wanted to know that, but now that I do, I have to look at it. I have to pay attention to it. I have to see it. So what we're having this week is Mercury. Well, what we're going to have first, let's back up a little or go forward a little, actually. This summer, we're going to have Jupiter trine to Saturn, trine to Neptune for three long months, July, August, and September. And what that is it's a highly, highly creative aspect. Jupiter is our societal vision, what we want to do, how we want to create, what we want to build, our positive relationships in the world. Saturn are our structures, and of course Saturn's in the sign asking us to commit to something. So he's going to be going forward, and he's going to be saying to you, well, what do you want to commit to? What do you want to commit to creating, Jupiter, in the society at large that is going to help the world? Jupiter in Cancer, Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. You're going to help nurture the world and help it grow. And then the both of them are trying to Neptune. And Neptune, of course, is the dream. So what's your dream of what you can create that's going to help the world that you want to commit to? Right? That's the story of the summer. That's what I'm going to be pitching all summer long. What's the dream that you're committing to? You're committing now. What's the dream? You're growing it. Grow something positive. So this week, what happens, because Jupiter doesn't get into Cancer until the end of June, this week what happens is Mercury steps into that grand trine with Saturn and Neptune. And Venus steps into that grand trine with Saturn and Neptune. And so they're taking Jupiter's place. So what we're going to have this week is first the idea as Mercury comes to trine Neptune and Saturn, the idea of the dream that we want to create. And then at the end of the week when Venus steps in, she's going to step into Neptune and Saturn, and she's going to say to you, so you desire this? You really want this? And, of course, Venus is in Cancer, the sign of desire, or the sign of what is it that you desire that's going to nurture you? Better way to say Venus in Cancer, because she wants to nurture you. Also this week, the moon is in Aries, which is I am, the beginning of the week, and then it's in Taurus, and I have, or I want, Taurus is the middle of the week, and then Gemini is, and my idea about how I'm going to do this is this, and then next week it goes into Cancer, which is what I'm going to nurture. So it's a very powerful week for the visioning. Now, the last little bits of the eclipses are taking place, releasing, having us see things, so that we can kind of go, okay, we got to get this organized or else we got to give it up. We got to figure out something that we're doing. That's part of the journey of the Mercury and the Venus talking to Saturn and Neptune. They're going to be pushing Saturn and Neptune to crystallize Saturn and structure Saturn, Neptune, the vision, the dream, the hope of how we're doing it. So they're going to be pushing it, and that's good. The other thing we have happening this week is Neptune stations to go retrograde. Now, Neptune has been moving forward for a while, and Neptune is the dream, right? It's the dream, and he went into Pisces last February, a year ago, and now he's going to station and go retrograde for a while. He stops this week at, let me pull up the degree, he stops this week at 5:23 Pisces, and then he's going to go backwards until, and forward in the book, he's going to go backwards until November 14th when he goes direct to 2:35 of Pisces. So, but in the meantime, he's going to be trining Saturn because Saturn is still going backwards too, right? So there's this grand trine in water saying revise, revise, release, revise. Then Saturn goes direct and forward the beginning of July, and then he starts to build again. And, of course, Jupiter's in his exaltation in Cancer, and he's interested in building. So everybody's really interested in building. And the dream that you've been working on since last November, when Neptune really got into Pisces seriously, has been kind of forming. You know, we've been asking you to look at what your dream is and how's your dream, what's your new dream, what's your new vision. So now we're going to say, okay, this is actually it. I'm ready to clarify. I'm ready to declare, stand in my own space and say, mine, this is what I want. This is what I want to bring in. So this week's very powerful because there's two big grand trines in water. It also can be highly emotional because we know when there's grand trines in water, we tend to be a little emotional because there's all that water running around and we all get to pretend we're honorary Pisces, Cancers, or Scorpios, and all of us Pisces, Cancers, and Scorpio types laugh at you air, water, and earth people that go, oh my God, I'm so emotional. It's like, yeah, that's what we live with all the time. But you're going to appreciate it this week. So we're going to have this big energy around emotional connectedness and emotional dreams, you know. And I have to say, it's funny, I've had people coming for readings, you know, the last couple of days, and, you know, we're in orb. I mean, I give you the exacts, but we're in orb, we're approaching that feeling. I had this one woman go, you know, I just always feel so good after I come here and hang out with you. I'm like, okay, good, good, you know, because I know my water is really flowing. I'm feeling very creative, flow, 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 flow. And it's like, but we had this really good reading, and it was very productive. And I know I did a good job and made her feel good and helped her understand something. And, you know, and it was like, you know, kind of a little teary. So if you find yourself on the edge of tears, you know, you're talking to someone and you go, oh, you know, thank you so much. You made me feel good. That's what this week's about. It's got that flow to it, this all water kind of energy. And on another note, I would like to say thank you to all of you who did sign the petition. Wanted to give you an update on that. Pluto off my Mars. Woohoo. Thank you. All of you who signed the petition on the trafficking last week, unfortunately, New York State, in its fine form, didn't manage to get the vote out of committee. But, you know, I had a friend who passed legislation. It took her 5 years to get stuff passed, you know, really working hard. These things don't pass right away. So we will root for it and cheer for it again next year, but I do appreciate your support. And I would urge you to pay attention to trafficking, you know, as a role, as part of our world. The people that get caught and are lost in this process, because part of Neptune in Pisces is slavery, right? We're supposed to be ending slavery. Last time it was in Pisces 160-some-odd years ago was when Britain outlawed slavery all across the world. So we outlawed it, but we're still doing it. So now with Neptune in Pisces again for 14 years, maybe this time we'll actually figure out how to make sure people aren't slaves anymore, even if they're trafficked and you're holding their papers and their documents and they can't go work and leave and do something else and they're afraid of you. They're your slave. So Pisces, we got 14 years. It's only been in Pisces for 2 years, so we're going to see a whole a new understanding about victims and people that are held captive and people that are part and parcel of it. And we've seen a lot of it already, but I do appreciate anybody who signed that petition. And if you don't live in New York and you wrote that you wanted to sign it, then you would write to your own state senator and ask them what they're doing about trafficking in their countries. Because even though we say we don't have slaves anymore, we certainly do. So, and sometimes it's just we're wage slaves. You know, we're making $5 an hour, and that does just not cut it. So forward. So the moon, let's talk about the aspects. We did have Neptune stationing. We also have a new moon at the end of the week at 18 of Gemini. Okay, so the new moon takes place, which, of course, marks the end of eclipse season being finished. But the new moon is going to be in whatever house you have 18 Gemini in. Remember, there's a new moon and a full moon every month in the course of the year in each of your houses. So this new moon is going to be in the Gemini house, and it's going to start a new creative project for you that's going to run for the next 2.5 years around Gemini issues. So think about what house that is and what your vision is for that, because it's a very strong new moon, very powerful. It's at 18 degrees. It squares the 9/11 degrees, so we should have some 9/11 thing up in the air. It squares the Boston Massacre degrees, so we should have something up in that. You know, the story is kind of the Boston explosion at the marathon. And we also have a lot of argumentative aspects this week with Mercury and Mars. So while Venus and Mercury are working with Saturn and stuff, they're also going to be arguing with Pluto and Uranus. So that can be awakenings, meaning you see something you had never really quite seen before. Like you see the guy you've been dating walking down the street with two women and a kid, and you go, huh, I thought we were dating, and you're here with two women and a kid, are you? Or we go through, you know, kind of a cognizant emotion where we go, you know, we have an internal breakthrough, you know, where you kind of see something differently, which I had this week, actually. I go to Fire Island for a few days, midweek, which is great because I have the house to myself. I've been going there. I was thinking about it. I've been going to Fire Island since 1980, 33 years of my life off and on. And I haven't been out there every year, but I've been out there a lot of years. And, you know, we had the storm Sandy. And the last few years, I've been living in this nice little house with a wonderful woman named Barbara, who's my landlady, and I rent her room. You know, she's out there on the weekends, and I'm out there during the week when she's not there. And her house was underwater this year. And it didn't come from the ocean, interestingly. When I went to the ocean, the things were washed away, but the water didn't come from the ocean. It came from the bay because there was a big surge and there was a full moon in Taurus. So they got watered from the bay, not from the ocean, attacked from the bay. And her house was underwater. And I usually leave some stuff out there, you know, during the winter, you know, like my bathing suit and my sneakers for the beach and stuff like that, which, of course, disappeared because it got flooded. But she redid the house. Right, so I go in the house, and the structure of the house is the same. It's still the same little cute house, except now it's different. The whole insides are different. And when she bought the house, she has a hard aspect that goes bad news, good news. So she was with her partner of, I think, 14 years, and they bought that, and it was a long time anyway. His dream had always been to buy a house, so they bought this house together. And they spent a couple nights in it, and then he died. Sad story, but he died, like, that winter. So she got the house, right? And so she has a bad news, good news. So this flood came, right? Bad news, took out the house. Good news, she got a whole new insides in the house because of the insurance money. And it's beautiful. But it was the house that she lived in before. It's the same house that she bought with her partner. But now it's very different. Now it feels like it's her house. And what happens on Fire Island is when you buy a house, they leave the furniture. So, you know, they just bought the house and then he dies, right? So she didn't throw anything away, but she's got this house. But now everything's gone, right? The couches are gone. The floors are gone. The dryer is gone. The hot water heater. All new. And so what she did was, it's like a wood house. It's a little tiny house built in the, 1920s. So it's filled with wood paneling, which was all, of course, soaked. So she took out the wood, and she put in pickled wood, So it's really pretty now. It's very pink and kind of cozy, and it's feels much bigger and brighter. So the inside is very different, but the outside looks the same, right? And I'm thinking about it as a metaphor for all the work that we all have done since November, when we first had the Sandy eclipses hit us, and all the work the universe has been asking us to do on our insides and on our understanding of who we are and on our making our inside, how we're nurturing ourselves and creating ourselves as a body and a being that is supportive of who we are now. And so when she came out on Friday, we were sitting talking, and I was commenting on the changes and how beautiful it was and how it really just felt like it was her nest. And she said, it's very funny. My cousin or her sister-in-law, some relative said to her, well, you've made it your own now. And she's like, I have. I didn't realize it wasn't my own. But when I had she has a party on Memorial Day. When I had my Memorial Day party, everybody was like, oh, it looks so beautiful, and it's really so much your taste, and it's so pretty, and it's so whatever. Because she really kind of refurnished it the way she wanted to. Now, the art, interestingly, is all the same. Because that didn't change, because it was above the water level of the house. But the vision of the inside, the couches, the furniture, we have a new bathroom, we have a new shower, we have all this new stuff that inside has changed, even though the outside looks the same. Even though the vision that she had when she hung the art, which is her vision, is different, right? It's fascinating. So I was like, this is like such a metaphor for all the work we have been doing on ourselves, because Scorpio work is so deep and inside of us. It's not an external work. So if you think about the work you've been doing on yourself since November and how much your insides have changed in terms of consciousness, in terms of reality, in terms of how you see the world, in terms of what you want to commit to, in terms of your understanding of what needs to change in your life, and how much has actually gone on, the house as this little glooming, glowing thing, because basically Ocean Beach got washed away in the water, but it came back with this new vision of who it was. And she went out every Saturday from February on, working on the house. She was working on the house every weekend, working on the house, working on her vision of what she was creating. We've all been working on our vision of what we're creating, whether we know it consciously or not. That's what these changes are about. Saturn sextile Pluto is evolutionary change. Opposite Jupiter in Gemini, which way, this way, that way, what do you want to do, this or that, this or that, this or that, and then switch, right? So your job, as this next week happens, is to take a time, take a few minutes, and kind of think about all the changes you've learned about yourself or all the things you've seen, right? I had one client write me an email. She's like, geez Louise, it feels like the whole world is getting a divorce. It's like, we're not getting a divorce. What we're getting is we're getting a new vision. We're saying, my new vision needs to be this, so if you're my old vision, I need to change this up somehow and get more close to my new vision. Nothing wrong with you as a vision, but you're not my vision anymore. So that's the bigger story underneath. It's not about what we're leaving behind. It's not about my bag of stuff in the closet. It's not about Paul's umbrella, because his umbrella got thrown out. And let me tell you, when he's going, well, Barbara, my umbrella got thrown out. And she was kind of like, Paul, I don't want to hear about your umbrella. I was laughing. Paul always tells me how I was supposed to put the knives in the dish drainer, because he's Paul. He's in charge of those things. But it was like, okay, my umbrella's gone. The clock radios are gone. I was setting all the clocks in the house because they're like those little electronic things, and I'm good at that kind of stuff. Paul's like, Ann, you're smart. Fix my clock. I'm like, okay, I'll fix your clock, Paul. No problem. Understanding that we're all resetting, we're all retiming, we're all coming up with a new vision of what we want to do. When the ferry pulled into Ocean Beach, the ferry dock was gone. For 33 years, I have pulled into this ferry, and there's been a Welcome to Ocean Beach sign. It's gone. There's no Welcome to Ocean Beach. There's a little trailer with the police in it, you know, but the ferry dock is gone. The people are, you know, it's like gone. Where'd it go? It's gone. Totally different. New way of looking at things. Totally transforming stuff. Changing the vision. That's what we've all been doing on a metaphorical, internal, physical level. This week, the universe is going to come to you and say, so what do you want your new vision to be? What do you want to build now that you've done all that renovation? We're ready to go. We're ready to put it in place. And I want you to be ready to point, say, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that, and I want that too. And I don't really want very much of that, but I want a little of this. And have the universe go, okay, you got it, you're in. And watch how it shows up this summer, because we have a Star of David, people. Stars of David in earth and water, two grand trines, highly, highly productive. I really want you maximizing this. So this week, universe is going to come through and take your order as it's finishing up the last little bits of the eclipse season. And we lost Jean Stapleton, who I loved as Edith, Archie Bunker's wife, and he would tell her to stifle it, and she would kind of just do what she did. And it was interesting because she was saying, I hated being Edith. I didn't like being Edith because I couldn't imagine being that subservient to anybody. But she played a role that helped us all get conscious about things. Archie is the first racist on TV. I can remember Lisa Schmallenberger, who was the first person I did a summer share with out on Fire Island in 1980, saying to me, well, my father's a little like Archie Bunker. And I kind of looked at her and went, really? There's people like him around? And she was like, well, that's who my father is. He's like Archie Bunker. I'm like, wow, I never realized there were people like Archie around. You know, like that actually is a real person. And there were people like that, you know, because that's not what I grew up with. But it was interesting because, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. I live with him. He was my dad. So for all of us, as we watch Edith leave, and we think about when, you know, Archie would call Meathead and, you know, and would do things and then, you know, shut up, Edith, stop talking, you know, and how much we've evolved. I went to see 42, the story of Jackie Robinson, how much we've evolved as a culture in terms of those times and how much things have changed. And at the same time, we don't always get a chance to go in and change our insides, but this is a week for us looking at our insides and saying, this is how it's changed. This is how I want to change. This is how I'm shifting. So be ready, because the universe is coming. It's going to take your order. And you want to say, I'd like the liverwurst with the caramelized onions on the, I'd like the pierogies. I'd like the, you know, whatever you want. Just get ready to give your order. Okay, so the week ahead, we also have the sun aspecting the nodes of fate on June 7th, asking us in a stressful, slightly stressful way to figure out where we're going. We have Saturn squaring Chiron on June 4th, so we can feel a little wounded, but it's not really that bad. It's about us understanding with Gemini we can take it one or two ways. We can take it like, what did I learn? As opposed to, oh my God, I am so hurt. Okay, I want you focusing on, instead of, oh my God, I'm so hurt, I want you focusing on, okay, what did I learn? What did I learn from that? What was the purpose of that experience? And why did it happen to me? Okay, Mercury has the trine to Jupiter and Saturn on the 3rd of June. And then on the 7th of June and the 8th of June, he has the opposition to Pluto, the square to Uranus. So he has the awakening argument. And then he has a parallel with Venus. So he and Venus swap notes on Sunday the 9th. So first he gets along really well with Neptune and Saturn. And then he has some really big fights on the 7th and the 8th. So this is, again, we still are in eclipse season, right? We are still ending the relationships, changing the relationships, releasing the things that don't work. Big blowout on the 7th and 8th. Be very careful. Don't go saying things if you're not sure you don't want the relationship to end, because that can, you can really blow it right up then. June 4th, aspects to the nodes of fate that are a little stressful from Venus. She's kind of like, you know, she's a little whiny right now because she's in Cancer. We love her. We think she's great. Venus is a wonderful gal. But when she's in Cancer, she can be a little not so clear. Not maybe so whatever. And on Monday the 4th, she's answering to the moon in Aries, so she's a little, shall we say, sharp-tongued, maybe a little argumentative, perhaps a little bitchy, but she's, you know, she's talking. Then she has the trine to Saturn and Neptune on the 7th of June. And next week she's going to have the arguments with Pluto and Uranus. But this week she trines Neptune and Saturn, and she says, okay, this is what I really want. And when she's in seductive mode, which she is this week, she's very seductive. And a grand trine in water is just, you know, just very flowy and delicious. Highly emotional. Probably going to be a lot of rain this week. Because of the lots of water in the sky, but we never, you know, we don't take rain for granted. We do like how green it makes Central Park. On the 7th, we also have Mars join with Pallas, the planet of patterns. So we're going to see our patterns, and we start a new two-year cycle around pattern seeing. Again, it could be this, it could be that. Gemini, look at the multiple sides. Do not pick your old way of thinking. Say, okay, I like that old way of thinking. It could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that, blah, 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 blah. I want you to come up with a positive version. None of this old stuff, okay? And then it has a square to Neptune. Mars has a square to Neptune and an in conjunct to Saturn on the 7th and 8th, meaning Mars in Gemini is going to be forcing you to choose a different vision. Mars squares Neptune. You're going to see a vision differently. You're going to want a different vision. And then he has an in conjunct to Saturn, which can be a health aspect. So if you've been having some health aspects with your Mars and Gemini planets, meaning you've been having a little health thing, it can amplify and get a little worse on the 8th, on the new moon on the 8th. And Saturn also has an in conjunct to Pallas Athena. That happens on the 8th, so that is a stressful aspect to her. Pallas Athena is in conjunct to Saturn, so she's kind of asking him to see the patterns he doesn't necessarily want to see. And you have to remember, you know, we all have these things we don't really want to see. That we, you know, there are sensitive parts. There are the parts where we're a little not so happy when someone points it out to us. It's not a bad thing. Own your bad stuff. You know, embrace it proudly. Be happy about it. The bad stuff always ties back into something good. So if someone says to you, you know, you're really bossy, you go, yeah, I know I'm really bossy. It's okay. Own it. What's going to happen? When I was younger, my grandmother liked me best, my mother's mother. And it was a real problem. Not that I got anything extra. Everybody got $5. But she liked me best. So the whole family used to say to me, Grandma likes you best. And I, feeling guilty, Virgo, I would go, no, she doesn't, right? I would deny it. And at one point, somebody said to me, who was a therapist, said, well, why don't you validate their reality? If their experience of you is that Grandma likes you best, why don't you say, you're right, she does like me best, and see what happens? I'm like, really? I can say that? And she was like, well, try it. So the next time my sister said it to me, I said, yeah, and Grandpa likes you best, right? She went, oh, kind of stopped, kind of looked at me, and she went, yeah. Never heard it from her again, right? She never said it again. It was the last time she ever said Grandma likes you best. Now, mind you, I heard this my whole friggin' life. My Aunt Kay says it. Now, my Aunt Kay had a harder patch with this because my mother and my grandfather got along very well, and my grandmother liked my uncle. Nobody really liked Aunt Kay. She was a middle child. You know how those middle childs sometimes don't really feel. So Aunt Kay said to me, Grandma likes you best. I said, I know Grandma likes me best, but it's not like I got anything extra for it. And my Aunt Kay burst into tears. I felt really guilty. But you know what? I never heard it again. So if someone says something to you this week, goes, you know, you're really blah, 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 blah. Validate their reality. Say to them, yes, I am that. And I'm, you know what? I am that. And I'm kind of proud of it. There's nothing wrong with being that. That is who I am. I want you embracing the stuff with the Saturn in conjunct to Pallas. Don't be ashamed of it. Pallas wants to point out our flaws. Saturn likes to shame us. I want you to own your shame. Say, you know what? I am ashamed of that. I'm really sorry. It makes me feel ashamed, but I'm not going to hide from it anymore. I'm going to embrace my shame. And then, of course, as Neptune stations, they're not going to know what the hell to do with your answer. So you're just going to kind of smile at them and dance away. It's good. It'll work really well. All right. Last but not least, Vesta Aspects and Nodes of Fate on June 5th. Buy good stuff for your house. Great day to go house shopping. Great day to sell your house. Great day to buy furniture for your house. Great day to change the house up. And we also have Black Moon Lilith entering Cancer. So we're having very strong energies around the creative principle that does not want to be subservient, and that happens on the 9th. We have a fabulous new moon. Enjoy it. Have a great week, people. I will talk to you all next week. And remember, validate their reality, embrace yours, explore options. Those are the themes for the week. And recognize how much you've changed on the inside, because you really have since November. Bye.